Where is the God of justice? I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure this day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud labourers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, James, am I on? Good, good. To be honest with you, being on is not the most important thing. The most important thing is being off while I'm singing. otherwise, it would destroy everything. So, welcome to you all. I'm not sure if I've got any visitors. I did see Sam. Yes, nice to see you, Sam, and any others here today. Warm welcome to you. This is the beginning of the season of Advent, and the reading that Alison read out earlier, and by the way, it was Alison, not me, who read it out, is a very relevant passage for the season we're about to go into. I want to start by praying, and then I just want to say a few words about this passage from Malachi. So let us pray. Father God, as we look forward to your coming, we just pray that you'd speak to us now through through the prophet Malachi. Speak to our minds so that we may understand. Speak to our hearts so that we will align our will with yours. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to be obedient to your word. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as I said, today is the first Sunday of Advent, the start of the season when we look forward to the coming of the Messiah, God incarnate, as God sets about the completion of his great plan of redemption, with the first coming of Christ into the world, which we celebrate at Christmas, and finishing with his return at a date as yet unknown. Now, Alison read earlier from Malachi chapter 3. Are we still up? Do you mind just throwing it up onto the screen, please, so we've all got the words in front of us? Wonderful. That's great. Thank you very much. So Alison read earlier from this piece from Malachi chapter 3. And in these first six verses of chapter 3, there is a sense in which God is calling the Israelite people to prepare themselves. Now, the scout motto, at least when I was a scout, was be prepared. Hillary, is that still the case? Great. Life hasn't moved on to that degree then. So the scout motto is be prepared. And this was the message to the Israelites then and also to us today. Now, what do we mean by be prepared? I suspect there are many of us here today that struggle to remember people's names. And this being true of me, whenever I go to an important meeting, what I try and do is memorise the names of the people I might be meeting there. And in particular, anybody that I already know, where there is a risk that I might forget their name. Now, this is well illustrated in the story of a good friend of mine. And I was inclined to change his Christian name, but I don't think anyone here knows him. I hope not. So I'm going to use his real name. And his real name is Graham. And Graham has an extreme propensity to forget people's names, and he knows it. And when he goes to a business meeting, for example, he has a phrase already so that if he's forgotten the name of the person he's speaking to, he says, "How's business then?" So anyway, imagine the scene at a conference up in Manchester, and Graham is sitting on the front row before the conference is about to begin. And this man comes up to him and says, "Oh, Graham, how are you? Really good to see you." Graham, of course, can't remember who he is. So he comes out with his stock phrase. He says, "How's business then?" And this guy says, "Graham, you don't know who I am, do you?" And Graham says, "Oh, I'm really sorry, I don't." He says, "Graham, it's Peter, your brother-in-law." Be prepared is the moral of the story. So our Bible reading this morning is taken from the last book of the Old Testament. Not necessarily the last book that was written, but positioned in our Protestant Bibles at the end of the Old Testament, because it is a book that is reflective on the unchanging nature of God in his relationship with the Israelite people, who have been very far themselves from unchanging. It is written by the prophet Malachi, whose name means "my messenger," or "messenger of Yahweh," which is the Old Testament's expression for God. The first expression we come to in Malachi at the beginning of the book, it's not up on the screen, this is in verse 2 of chapter 1, is a deeply profound expression of God's character and will. "I have loved you," says the Lord. "I have loved you," says the Lord. Norman Staith, in his book, The Distinctive Ideas of the Old Testament, notes there are three main characteristics that help us to understand God's love. First, God's love is a sovereign love. As Lord over all, God is not required to do anything except that which is directed by his own character and being. Love proceeds from God's character and being, and therefore no definition of God's love can be separated from what he is and what he does. The second characteristic of God's love is that it is unconditional. The motivation for God loving us comes entirely from God and is not derived from anything we or Israel are or pretend to be. This is why God may not like us, just as he did not like the unfaithfulness of the Israelites, but he still loves us. And the third characteristic of God's love is that it is intimately personal. In spite of the fact that our Lord is the one who to whom the heavens and the earth belong, he has decided to set his love and affection on human beings. It is the love of a father taking the infant son by the arms and teaching him how to walk. It is against this backdrop of God's unchanging love that we come to our Bible reading from Malachi chapter 3. Now, Malachi chapter 3 is actually a reply, a response from God to the moaning, unfaithful Israelites who, according to the prophet, have wearied the Lord by questioning the faithfulness of God, with the audacious question at the end of chapter 2, "Where is the God of justice?" That was probably said with a hint of sarcasm. And it is to this question, "Where is the God of justice?" that God responds. And we see in the first five verses of chapter 3, there are three strands to his response. So in verse 1, be prepared for God's plan of redemption. In verses 2 to 4, be prepared for God's judgment on his people. And in verse 5, be prepared for God's judgment on those who do not fear him. I want to now look at these three strands one by one. So firstly, be prepared for God's plan of redemption. In verse 1, the Lord says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. As we know, the fulfillment of this statement of intent was the coming some 500 years later of John the Baptist, who called the people to repentance to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. The call to repentance was very important. The well-known verse from Isaiah puts it this way. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, I have always had a fascination for railways, and I know the importance of the track being well laid on a bed of ballast so that train journeys can be as smooth as possible. If the track is poorly laid, the train oscillates and has to slow down. The smoothest journeys, of course, are when the track is straight. The train can then travel at high speed, smoothly, towards its destination. In a similar way, as we look forward, not to the coming of the Messiah because he has already come, but to the celebration of his birth in 3 years' time, in 3 weeks' time, God calls us to prepare ourselves, to make the road straight. The preparatory work of the messenger was that of clearing the way. It meant levelling the road, filling in the ruts, removing the boulders, and straightening its course, as happened for the arrival of the earthly monarchs. When applied to the Lord of glory, it had a moral and spiritual preparation in mind, a kind of spiritual house cleaning as the only proper preparation for the arrival of the Messiah. Advent is a period of waiting, but with anticipation. And as with God's people around the world, we need to prepare our hearts to receive the good news of God, initiating the next stage of his plan of redemption. God, involving himself directly in our world, God incarnate, taking on human form whilst retaining the fullness of his deity in the person of Jesus Christ. There was great rejoicing when Jesus was born, but John the Baptist had prepared the way. And so it should be with us as followers of Jesus in 2017. Maybe we can commit ourselves over this season of Advent to prepare our hearts through prayer and meditation on Scripture. Importantly, God calls us to a spirit of repentance, which begins with asking God, through the Holy Spirit, to search our hearts, to help us identify attitudes and motives that are not in accordance with his will. Then asking the Holy Spirit to change our character from within, to make us like Jesus, so that our hearts are able to receive him. Jesus was born physically into a broken world, but he is also born spiritually through his Spirit to dwell in our broken hearts. Hearts that gladly receive him because they have been prepared for him. Secondly, be prepared for God's judgment on his people. The Israelites asked, where is the God of justice? And God answers in verses 2 to 5 that God's plan of redemption includes the exercise of justice, not just for the faithful, but also for those who reject God. God's justice goes hand in hand with God's love for his people. And whilst the Israelites may doubt that God delivers justice, the truth is he does. The prophet Malachi makes it clear in verses 2 to 4 that God will firstly judge his own people, and that, like the Israelites, we need to be prepared for for this, but rather a judgment that rejects and casts out. God's judgment on his people will be one of purification and refinement. Two analogies are used by Malachi to illustrate this. Firstly, the analogy of the refining of silver, where the impure metal is heated to such a temperature that the impurities are separated out. And once removed as slag, what remains is pure silver, perfection. God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, when Jesus returns for a second time at the end of time, will complete his work of sanctification of his people and restore us in the fullness of his image. What a beautiful picture when God looks at the refined silver of our hearts. What will he see? A perfect reflection of himself. The second analogy is that of dirty washing. And like the silver metal, involves the separation of the dirt from the garments to leave clothes that are pure, white and gleaming. When the Apostle Paul speaks of us as God's people being clothed in Christ's righteousness, maybe he was thinking of Malachi's analogy of us being clothed in garments made pure by the blood of Christ. Or perhaps we may combine the two analogies together so that on the day of judgment, our hearts are refined and purified like silver, so they truly reflect the image of God, and our bodies are clothed in clean, shining garments washed by the blood of Christ. But that is on the day of judgment, at the end of time when Christ returns. In the meantime, we are called to prepare and repent of all that slag in our hearts that contaminates our dirty bodies. As we draw close to Christ in anticipation of the celebration of his birth, we should encourage one another to lay before God all that which mars his image in us. Our selfish hearts, twisted with self-centeredness, are in desperate need of the refining and purifying work of the Holy Spirit. For some, this may mean repenting of our part in a fractured family relationship or a broken relationship within the church family. For others, it may mean apologising for hurt caused to another, whether deliberate or unintentional. Yet others may be struggling with pride, anger, lust, greed, or other sins so common to mankind. Whoever you are, and whatever the outward symptoms are expressed from our sinful hearts, God calls each of us to a time of preparation in this season of Advent by coming before God, repenting of our sins, allowing the Holy Spirit to refine and purify us from within so that we may walk humbly with our God. Thirdly, we must be prepared for God's judgment on those that do not fear him. The Israelites asked, "Where is the God of justice?" And verse 5 shows that God's judgment will come upon those who do not fear him. And whilst God's judgment of his people will ultimately be a positive experience, one of refining and purification, God's judgment on those that who do not fear him will be devastating. Their lifestyles, behaviour and rejection of God mean that those who do not fear him face an eternity without God. Hell is not a popular subject to preach on in church, but it is a reality. The justice of God goes hand in hand with the love of God for his people. For God cannot be a God of love unless he is also a God of justice. So when the Israelites asked, "Where is the God of justice?" by implication they were saying, "Where is the God of love?" So rather than be dismayed that God will judge those that do not fear him, we should rejoice that the God in whom we trust is indeed a God of justice and also a God of love. But what is the relevance to us? Well, God calls his people to be his instruments on earth, to demonstrate his love and to proclaim the gospel to those that do not fear him. We have a key role to play in bringing those outside the kingdom into his loving presence, so that on the day of judgment, many more experience the loving, refining, and purification of their hearts, rather than eternal separation from God in hell. For some of us, that may mean involving ourselves in direct evangelism, through, for example, running an Alpha course in our home. But for all of us, as we prepare ourselves in this time of Advent, we can pray for those who do not know Jesus, who do not fear God, that God, through his Holy Spirit, may draw these people to himself as he grows his kingdom on earth and in our community. In concluding, as we look forward in this time of Advent to the coming and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to highlight three great truths in the last book of the Old Testament. Firstly, our God is a God of love. Returning to the verse at the beginning of Malachi, the Lord says, "I have loved you." And this was true for the Israelites then, as it is for us today. Secondly, God is just and will judge both those that follow him and fear him, and he will also judge those that do not fear him, but with very different outcomes. And the third great truth is stated in verse 6 of our passage today. I, the Lord, do not change. God is constant in his love, constant in his justice, and his constancy will be forevermore. We can draw great comfort from these truths about God as we look forward to the celebration of the birth of Jesus at Christmas. May each of us heed the call of the messenger to repent of our sins and ridding ourselves of all that is contrary to the way and will of God, so that in the words of the prayer of the Apostle Paul, Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. May this be true for each one of us here today. Amen.